Public News Service Daily Newscast, September the 16th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Iowa's elections are safe and secure and have not been subject to widespread fraud. That's the message from a bipartisan group of election administrators around the state as disinformation concerns linger.
Secretary of State Paul Pate and his auditor's advisory group announced the campaign this week, noting a recent increase in the spread of false claims regarding elections in Iowa, despite no evidence to back those claims. Ringgold County Auditor Amanda Waske says there's no reason to believe that the process is vulnerable.
We use paper ballots in Iowa. There's nothing connected to the internet. We do post-election audits after every single election, and that has come back accurate 100% every time.
A new activist group called Iowa Canvassing says it wants to clean up voter registration rolls, but the state stresses it conducts routine list maintenance. More broadly, disinformation was fueled by false claims from Donald Trump after the 2020 vote. I'm Mike Moen.
As part of the campaign, the Secretary of State's office has devoted a section of its website to election security. The Inflation Reduction Act has made a historic investment of $370 billion to fight climate change over the next decade. More on the story now from Danielle Smith.
Among its benefits, the act will provide tax credits for rural electric co-ops to move towards clean energy. Brianna Nicely is Tennessee's campaign manager for Appalachian Voices. She says the act significantly changes the economic landscape for Tennessee's public utilities or not-for-profit utilities to implement renewable energy and energy efficiency.
There are some new pots of funding for electric cooperatives to transition, and then also the direct pay tax credit for renewable energy has been extended to nonprofit entities, which means co-ops and municipal utilities can now access that tax credit.
Meanwhile, Nicely notes that access to the tax credits may be limited because of the barriers that the Tennessee Valley Authority has put in place.
And now from the New York Times, freight rail companies and unions representing tens of thousands of workers reached a tentative agreement to avoid what would have been an economically damaging strike, a relief for business and consumers, also a victory for President Biden. The Times reports a breakthrough on Thursday morning came just hours before a critical deadline that would have allowed workers to strike and had already begun affecting rail service across the U.S. This is PNS. After a devastating hailstorm in eastern Oregon, Eric Tegedoff reports community members are lending each other a helping hand.
In mid-August, a severe storm dropped hail the size of baseballs on the town of Wallawa. It damaged nearly every vehicle in the town of 800, smashed windows, and battered roofs. Stephen Cleaver is the pastor of Lustine First Presbyterian Church, which has congregants from nearby Wallawa.
I contacted everybody, made sure everybody was okay. What I found out was that people were highly traumatized. This was a traumatic event. It just shook people because it was so violent. I mean, we're talking 10 minutes, and it basically decimated the town.
He says luckily no one was seriously injured. After checking in with everyone he could, Cleaver headed an effort to raise money. He says so far they've raised $70,000 and handed out $500 vouchers.
The Inflation Reduction Act signed by President Joe Biden last month caps the cost of insulin at $35 a month for seniors who have Medicare.
According to the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy, the Mountain State's per capita prescription drug cost increases outpaced national averages every day between 2001 and 2014, faster than all other healthcare spending. Wood County resident Lisa Doyle Parsons says she's lost family members because of the high cost of doctor-prescribed medications.
I, at 55, have outlived three of my five brothers because they could not afford to have the medications they needed to keep them alive and to give them a quality of life.
Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
Finally, Tramell Gomes tells us environmental groups are calling on Georgia's Environmental Protection Division to reject permits to build a titanium mine near an intact freshwater wetland system. It's known as the Okeechobee Swamp. It extends into Florida.
Ultimately, Twin Pines Minerals Company successfully sued the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which dropped its federal protections of the swamp in a settlement. Christian Hunt with Defenders of Wildlife says he was shocked to see the Corps flip-flop, allowing the mining company to move forward with plans to mine on more than 500 acres at the edge of the largest U.S. National Wildlife Refuge east of the Mississippi, if it gets state approval.
We think this is an inappropriate neighbor. It's an inconsistent land use adjacent to this world-class wildlife refuge, and dozens of scientists have voiced such sentiments. So we're following the science in that regard.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for ending your week with Public News Service, member and listener-supported, heard on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.